Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello? Huh? The internet? Huh? Is that you? Huh? Oh, okay, good. It is. I'm jumpy right now. I had too much cold brew. Welcome to season 92, episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist, yeah, production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where, you know, we take a look into America's putrid skull and look in that old, weird subconsciousness, regular consciousness, and off the rip, just say, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It is Monday, July 22nd, 2019.
Miles, it's brave. I just wanted to applaud your bravery.
You just interrupted my whole AKA. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Our pod is an awesome pod. Hot takes from heaven above with Jack and Miles with love. Our pod is an awesome pod. Oh, wow. Thank you to at Crispy Meme Donut. Chrissy Yamaguchi main. I wasn't tagged in this AKA, but I love this hymn. And I said, you know what? I'm stealing it.
That's one of my favorite songs from Vacation Bible School. You ever go there?
No. Vacation Bible School was the school I pretty much went to from K to 8.
Oh, shit. Well,
so what else you want to do?
We
you know Eagles Wings?
I liked, you know All God's Critters?
No.
Oh, shit. That one's fun.
Well, hold on. Allow me to introduce you first,
okay,
and then
sorry,
we can
sorry,
go
sorry,
down
sorry.
Bible lane.
I wanted to sing.
guess who that is? That's my guest host, as usual. Co-host, Jami Lofty.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. I would like to remind everyone that I brought the Renner song first.
Yeah, you did.
She's got Zambonis that'll make your snow clean. Oh, she hacks like Jackman and Halle Berry.
Ooh.
All I remember, she grew up with a back brace, then she moved to L.A. The girl who hacks, whose dog is Fache. Loft is the host, J-May. Thank you so much.
Loft is the host, J-May.
That was a
celebrity, but I got her day.
That was a Hannah Soltis original. So thank you. Really, I asked, and she really delivered in a big way. The Vacation Bible School song I was thinking about is "All God's Critters Got a Place in the Choir." Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire.
Do you know Jesus sits on the road and he cries? Jeez. Oh, it's actually, what? Well, first it's actually blind man. It's blind man, and then eventually you get to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So blind man sits on the road and he cries. Blind man sits on the road and he cries. Blind man sits on the road and he cries. He cries, whoa, show me the way.
Sounds like a Tenacious D song.
No, and then it goes into, and then they'll be like, okay, now Jesus. Jesus sits on, and then they'll be like, now we all. And then you're like, we all. And then, but the Jesus part, it changed because he says, I am the way. I am the truth. Follow me home. And then at the end, we would go, Jesus was the last note that you would hit. Yeah. Drop the bomb for Jesus one time. This has slowly become a weird, like, dirtbag evangelical podcast.
Fair.
So,
oh, that's the next permutation of the hideous podcasting community.
Dirtbag evangelism?
The dirtbag evangelist left.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined by our hilarious guest, a man with sneaker taste that is impeccable and second to none.
Oh, my goodness.
Please welcome the hilarious Kenny DeForest.
Thank you. That's my best credit. Yeah.
Today?
Impeccable sneaker taste.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
How long have you been a sneakerhead, man?
I guess for a while. I always like to have, like, good basketball shoes to hoop in.
So you like to hoop in.
But I have, like, I always have, like, three or four at a time, and that's it. And I wear them all. And then once they're done,
destroyed.
I get three or four new ones. Like, I don't have, like, a full closet, you know?
But you beat them down.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Well, Kenny, we're going to get to know you a little bit more. But first, what are we going to do? Let's, I guess, tell people. What the fuck is going on in this show today? First, we're going to talk about that Cats trailer and their reactions.
I mean,
they're very mixed.
If you don't have a take, you can be publicly
flayed.
You can be slapped in the
street. Sent to the stocks, as it were. Also, a new Trump grift, really cool merch that's coming out of the campaign. Mm-hmm. Really, really good value for your money that I'm sure everyone will want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, old white man told to drop out of race by own people.
Wow.
We'll get into that.
Could
that
be
has
almost
to do
anyone.
Could be anyone. Yeah. Could be anyone in the Democratic primary, but we'll tell you who and why. We're going to talk about Ricardo Rosselló, the governor of Puerto Rico, and my man, the people have had it. They want him to go. Ever since, you know, these fucking weird text messages or those group chats leaked with a lot of fucking weird shit, or actually not weird, problematic, homophobic, misogynistic BS. Also, a little discussion about FaceApp, because at first we were talking about, look, you know, sure, it the Russians own it or whatever. Someone, a Russian company developed it. But I think maybe our focus is a little misplaced on just this one sliver of an app when you think about all the motherfucking apps.
If you think about the surveillance state, I'm putting on my little tin hat for that section.
But that's a good distraction, you know? Let's talk about that rather than the real privacy concerns in the tech industry.
Yeah, sure.
Also, maybe Jamie, little Jamie will give us a Mensa update.
Yeah.
You know,
I got some updates.
You did go to the Mensa Con, MenCon, I believe it's called.
It is called MenCon 2019.
MenCon Women.
It is called Mensa Annual Gathering, Mensa Rising is what it was called.
Mensa Rising. Okay, so
we'll
get a little tea report from that.
Yeah.
Also, another story that Jamie really want to talk about, the Lou Pearlman biopic.
I really want to talk about
it. I'm for your energy about this story, so we'll be talking about it. Also, Netflix not doing too well, and I think we know why. Maybe we don't, but we'll have to discuss.
Yeah.
But first, Kenny, what is something from your search history that's going to tell people what you're about?
So I wrote down the three most recent because I figure the most recent is telling, and then one that I think is more interesting, I guess.
Okay, well, hit me with the three.
The most recent was Fear and Loathing because I'm doing a tour in the fall, and I'm partnering with a friend of mine who's an artist, and we're doing posters, and we're going to come up with a cool poster for tour.
Ooh.
And I was thinking fear and joking on a trip through the South or something. So I was looking for ideas, but that's not, you know, that's just my work. That's not exciting.
Is there an art aesthetic that you like, especially? Is that you meant
he's like,
is that Hunter S. Thompson's drawings basically? That
you're right. The guy who came up with Gonzo, I can't remember his name. He's an artist, but, that whole style.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like they were kind of partnered on that. And I have a friend I grew up with that's a really talented artist.
Dope.
Art by Frenchie on Instagram. Shout out to him.
Oh, wow. Cool. How many followers?
Is it Ralph Steadman, right? That's the artist we're thinking of?
Yes.
I think you're thinking Steadman? Of Steadman yeah. Graham, who They're... was with Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, I made a calendar of Steadman Graham once.
That's right.
That's for another day.
That's for another day. We'll switch out one of the news stories to talk about that.
Yeah.
Nice. And then what are the three random ones?
Well, and then I Googled Subaru because I drive a Subaru and I have to get it worked on, but that's not exciting. But then the third one, I do think it kind of tells you a little bit about me. Which is I was looking up go bags, getting ready.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
For like if the big one happens, it's your backpack that has your essentials.
Everything.
If you got to get out of LA, this will keep you alive for like 3 to 5 days.
It's like survivalist.
Yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, just preparedness. Ah. In preparedness. General, you know, because what do you do if like the water goes poison and the zombies come out?
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be ready. You know?
Is this a thing now? Should I have one?
Do you have an earthquake preparedness kit?
No.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, I really
should. Hi, because you live in the devil's butt crack that's waiting to explode at any moment.
Yeah, no,
I can't wait to be swallowed into the devil's butt crack someday.
Yeah. That's what we call the San Andreas fault, man. What we call it, the looks call it, the devil's butt crack. Okay, what's overrated, Kenny?
Man, perfect pivot. Living in New York City. Holy shit. I thought I loved it. And then I left it and I realized that there are other places that you can live.
Did you grow up there?
No, I didn't grow up there. I grew up in the Midwest and I did that thing where I was like, certainly New York City's better.
Right.
And it is it's really cool place, man. But living there is just, it's so bad that I moved to a place that is always cracking open and on fire. And I was like, this is so much better.
Right.
You know, like I would rather burn to death.
Watching those subway videos that have been leaking out about all the water that's just been going into the subway stations, I was like,
I mean, it really is. It's mad. It's like the most people that have congregated in one place in this country have done so on a small island with no plan. And it's just
no plan.
And more people keep coming.
Yeah.
There's not even a trash removal plan that is remotely like you just stack your trash on the corner. That's the best they've come up with. There's not even dumpsters. They're like, oh, it's trash day. Put your loose bags of garbage
in this pile.
Out. Yeah. Make sure it's rat feeding season. So everybody put
How often do rats just tear the fuck out of those trash piles?
It's constant. I used to walk dogs and they would constantly get like chicken bones stuck in their throat and like that's bad for dogs.
Right.
And people would be like, what did you do? I'm like, they're just everywhere.
Yeah, every day's trash day.
It's either rats are picking the bones out, or it's just everyone in New York City thinks they're a king, and just every time they finish a chicken,
they just toss it. Right.
Yeah.
How long were you in New York for?
5.5 years.
And then when did you? At what point did you start to get tired of it?
Probably day three. No, it's just like you don't even have central air. I got a friend. Who was on a like popular TV show and she didn't have control of the temperature of her own dwelling. You know what I mean? It's just like, I kind of thought once you were on like a network show, you could decide how warm it is when you go to bed.
Right.
But it's no.
Damn.
It is crazy. And my best friend works at Columbia and like has like a salary and health insurance. She's very lucky. But still, like, is boiling alive in her house. Like,
oh, really?
In her 2x2 foot room.
See? Yes. And when you come to hell, we already AC'd the fuck out of everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So welcome.
Yeah.
To hell.
Man.
I love it here.
I Beelzebub, welcome you. Blunt in hand. Welcome to California.
Welcome to my butt crack.
Welcome to my beak crack.
I'm Beelzebub, and welcome to my butt crack.
What is something that's underrated?
Man.
Men?
Men. I'm a men's rights activist. Surprise! I tricked Anna.
Now debate me, coward. Yeah. To Jamie. Debate me, Jamie.
You think you're so smart with your Mensa? To debate an average man.
Yeah, but to own you with facts and logic.
I care about my feelings.
You referenced tinfoil hat. Mm-hmm. I think what's underrated is what I used to think were really crazy conspiracy theories. Like I've had friends that have been telling me for years that all the world's elite are pedophiles, and I was like, that sounds crazy. But maybe like, they were right this whole time.
Oh yeah.
Looking at these lists, you're like, huh.
I'm like, man, that is everyone you told me was a pedophile.
Right. Jeez.
Like I've been told that like I've been told crazy things about Bill Clinton my whole life, but I thought it was just because I grew up in a red state, you know? But
yeah, I mean, God, see, that's why this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, I bring it all out. Bring it. I want to see it all.
That is
we need to get to the bottom of this shit.
That is the funny thing is you're seeing like a lot of more like right-leaning people that are like, well, what about when one of your people comes out?
And everyone's been like,
everyone on the left's like, yeah, please,
yeah.
Take them all.
The fires are being stoked and ready.
Yeah. And it's in like every area of rich people too. Every genre of rich. Like there, if you haven't seen An Open Secret, have you guys seen An Open Secret? That's the documentary from a couple years ago by Amy Berg about like Hollywood specific pedophile, and like it couldn't get a theatrical release really because it was like such a controversial subject.
Oh shit! I got to see that.
She's like an Oscar winning director, and she couldn't get it
right.
But it's like it's so prevalent. I mean, we're talking Perlman today.
Yeah, and this is like Abuseville too.
It is, especially
the carrot of fame is used to just manipulate the fuck out of people.
I still am just like, how is Dan Schneider not in jail? Like, there's so many people who belong in jail and they're not.
Hey, damn, it's coming, wild, man.
It's coming, maybe.
It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming out, and it's just like, I feel like a lot of things are just coming to the surface. That's why everything's so crazy. It's just like we're at the cauldron is bubbling. It's reached peak boil, and we're just like all standing around, like, oh god, it's gonna blow.
The devil's butt crack is throbbing.
Yeah,
the devil's.
The devil's balloon knots inside out.
I can tell, man. The devil's windsock. Now, what is a myth? What's something that you, I forget how Jack words it, but what's a myth, man? What's a myth you could just bust?
Okay, so this kind of blew my mind, and it's kind of a string of thought that leads to a couple quotes that we've been misusing for years. So my girl and I were kind of talking about this whole basic idea that millennials are like ungrateful or lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about how really it's more that we're so inundated with options that no one can feel contentment because it's just, we're so constantly aware of what we don't have or what the other thing we could be doing. Like my grandparents had a beautiful marriage. They were married for like 65 years, but it's also like,
that's a myth.
She was just,
65.
Yeah. What if that was my myth? I would like to break the myth that my grandparents had a good marriage.
Yeah.
It's like a very petty, it's like, whoa.
Is this a Thanksgiving conversation?
I mean, any grandparents courting story is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Oh yeah.
my grandparents met via my grandfather catcalling my grandmother.
In a parking lot.
Yeah. She had like a much younger sibling. She was like, you know, walking the baby around. She's a teenager. And my grandfather tailgated her, pulled up to her, and was like, hey, that your baby? And then they were married for 500 years.
Hey, that your baby?
And she was
yo,
like,
that your baby? Yo, ma!
That your baby?
That your baby?
He's like, no, what are you doing this weekend?
You're looking dumb thick. Wow. Okay, so go on.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just, we were just talking, but it's like also they didn't have like Facebook, you know, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden that girl that you kind of missed with in high school hits you up 20 years later, like, I've been thinking about you, you know,
right.
like he didn't have to deal with any of that shit. She didn't have to deal with any of that shit.
Options are limited.
So anyway, we were just talking about like, there's all these quotes that we've just been misusing and honestly to the opposite effect. So like, for instance, did you know blood is thicker than water? The full saying is actually the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, which basically means the opposite. So it's basically the bonds that you choose to make mean much more than the bonds that you're born into. But we literally say it like blood is thicker than water. Like
blood over everything.
Yeah, blood over everything. But it's really like because your friends will adapt with you, it flows more like water. So like blood is slower to move. So your family's not going to change.
Wow.
So you create your own family that's like-minded, and you guys
that's
are
water.
Now moving like a hive. And
so
you're
it's
water.
Actually like an insult to say blood is thicker than water.
Exactly.
Like, wow.
And we've been saying it like
that's
that for
amazing.
Years.
Dumb.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And then the other one is they say jack of all trades, master of none, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like if you focus on a bunch of things, you won't be great at anything. But the full saying is jack of all trades, master of none, but maybe that's better than a master of one. So basically, a jack of all trades would beat a master at most things because a master is only good at one thing. So if you're good at 10 things, you're going to beat the master at 9 things.
Yo, this is a real... Thank you.
Man, that's... Man.
Wow.
He's smiling.
Now yeah, I can crazy? Fucking be like, that's fuck amazing. You, family.
Yeah. I'm like,
I'm over water now.
The next person to call me a multi-hyphenate is going to get kicked in the head.
You don't fucking get the origin,
fuck
homie.
You don't know the end of the phrase.
Oh, you're just a master at Super Smash Brothers. Okay. I'm a little bit good at many other things as well. Hell yeah. Okay, that was empowering.
Yeah, you guys feel
amazing.
Good?
Yeah, that was a fucking...
I just wanted to share that feeling with you.
Motherfucking paradigm shift.
Yeah.
I think we need a new drop for paradigm shifts.
Shifting the paradigm.
DJ Dan, just go in the lab and marinate on that.
That's what those earthquakes were, baby, was just the paradigm shifting.
Yeah, see, the devil's butt provides.
And it giveth and it taketh away.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on, giveth, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We were giveth-ed.
Giveth it id.
The trailer for Cats, the movie, or the fucking classic musical, turned into the movie. And people, I don't understand why people are so fucking angry about this.
Had furious takes about this movie one way or another. The main thing I don't understand is, first of all, I'm so excited for this movie.
Sure.
I really hope it's good. I hope it makes $1 billion and then we get a bunch of fucking weird movies. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be the greatest thing in the world. There hasn't been a great like musical to screen adaptation in like over 10 years.
What was the last one you say is good? Chicago?
I think Chicago was the Chicago and Moulin Rouge were like peak, and then there was like a bunch of imitators and, you know.
Moulin Rouge, was that a stage musical?
No, but that was like a big musical spectacle. Okay. And they were in, you know, they tried to make it happen with Phantom of the Opera, and they tried to make it happen with Nine and Rent.
Maybe Across the Universe? Was that?
That was
good.
I didn't think, I don't know, I never saw that one.
Yeah, it was good.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you like the Beatles.
And we know Yesterday just came out, a classic.
Yeah.
I really do want to see Yesterday because I want to just make fun of something. But, it looks... My confusion about people being like, the Cats look scary is like, have you ever seen a picture of the musical? They're supposed to look scary. Like,
it was funny though. Some of the takes were like showing stills, and they're like, "This looks like deepfakes." I was like, "Maybe."
Internet criticism too is when people are just like, "Why isn't this the way I want it to be?"
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, but this one seemed like a few comics made fun of it, and then the like prevailing sentiment on the internet became like sort of like, "Ha ha ha! Let's make fun of this shit." Because a lot of it just seems like a lot of people just making fun of it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read like sincerely angry ones.
No.
Yeah.
You know? Shout out to Jabuki, who got banned from suspended from Twitter momentarily from basically pretending his account was the Cats one. What did he say?
Loved it.
Like the penises in the movie will also be spiked.
They're going to have realistic
spiked penises. I think it's going to be an event.
I'm psyched, man. I can't wait.
A lot of people were mad about this. I read someone, like a tweet that people didn't like where the tails were.
I mean,
like,
this is insane.
What the fuck does that even mean?
This is truly...
Literally, we're
getting... It's a waste of energy.
You know what's also crazy is it's the same energy that people tweet about like camps at the border. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like the same level of it, like, the tails are a little high.
Right.
There's kids in cages.
Yeah.
The world's falling apart.
And there's no Mushu in Mulan.
It is, I'm psyched on Cats. We've been, Bechdel Cast has been getting 1 million tweets because in most of our episodes, Caitlin does a segment called Cat Facts, where she just restates that cats generally have 8 nipples.
Generally.
And we are not seeing any nipples on these cats, but we are seeing big naturals.
We're seeing big, regular titties, two regular ass titties these cats.
We're seeing big naturals, no nipples, which I think is a wild creative decision.
It could be buried under the fur.
This is what we call a reverse Schumacher, is there's no nipples.
Reverse
where
shoe.
Where there should be nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they're under the fur? Like a cat's nipples don't just hang out the fur.
There's a scene where they go bloop and they just kind of come out, you know? Cats is fun. Cats is fun. If you don't know about Jellicle Cats, you have to educate yourself. Go to a community theater production and just really like assault your eyes with a production of Cats. It's great.
I mean, the cast looks fine. People like, I think Jay Hud is gonna fucking just hold it the fuck down.
Oh my god! I mean, her memory solo is beautiful.
Yeah.
You're gonna love.
I'm a little bit agnostic when it comes to it because I'm like, okay, cool. But I'm also not like, I have to go see that. I'm not a huge musicals person.
Oh, I do have to go see it because I don't know. I just think it's way better that this that a movie like this is happening than like one of the 5 bajillion like Disney like I sure. I am 900 times more excited to see Cats than I am to see any of the Disney remakes.
Live action ones?
Yeah.
Have you seen Leon King yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I will see it, but it's like everything I read about it is like it's beautiful, but it's Uncanny Valley, and I've seen this movie before, and it's like
Right.
I don't know.
I have seen this somewhere.
Just, it makes me. I haven't. This will be the first Disney remake that I see in theaters. I haven't gone to any yet, but
will you see The Little Mermaid?
I'll definitely see Little Mermaid. I love. I will see The Little Mermaid. I'm like, I have to see Lion King because I saw Midsommar twice, and I was have to offset this by seeing.
You were in a place. That was a choice.
I saw it first to scare myself before I went to Mensa. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it again because I have a crush on Will Poulter. And now I need to stop seeing
him. Shout out Will Poulter. He's an Arsenal fan. He's a gooner. So respect to him. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Wow. Who'd have thought we were going to come back from that commercial break? I'm glad we all
had
faith.
It was a good break.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a new grift in Trump world. If you go to the Donald J. Trump website, you know, where they sell fucking campaign garbage.
If it's not already your home screen.
Yes, thank you. Please, we will include a link in the footnotes for you to just click it, and it will change your landing page to DonaldJTrump.com or shop.DonaldJTrump.com. This new fucking product is just a pack of 10 plastic straws. It says, liberal paper straws don't work. Stand with President Trump, all caps, and buy your pack of recyclable straws today.
It's like, look, I get it.
You almost respect it. You know, that's the thing about him is this is so, I mean, he's trolling everybody, including his own people.
Well, it's not like he's deciding. Like the weird, you know, fucking 4chan goons who are like, yeah, I got some merch ideas. This is a good one. Let's own the libs with plastic straws.
Wiping out the turtles to own the libs.
Yeah. I mean, it's odd that, too, when they're talking about, like, okay, liberal paper straws.
Liberal paper straws.
So then the answer is that you're pushing back against being liberal. Yet on when you look at the description, it's like BPA free, reusable, and recyclable. So it's like, okay,
which
so then
like,
are you saying that matters to the consumer in the same way that people who would, you know, not be down with one time use plastics are?
Right.
It's all over the
place.
Well,
so that's what it happened. Like, I remember seeing this thing where I don't remember who it was, but some Republican congressperson was like, the Republicans are going to come up with a plan to combat climate change. Just don't talk to us about the Green New Deal. But it's like, okay, wait a minute. So now climate change is real? I thought the angle was that it wasn't.
Now
that we're talking Green New Deal, you're like, all right, we'll find our own solution to fix it. It's like, I thought it didn't need to be fixed. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's such a failed troll, too, because they're like, by making it like biodegradable plastic, I'm like, okay, yeah.
Not biodegradable, just recyclable.
It's just recyclable.
Okay. I just want to underline that.
Okay. You know what? I rescind.
Okay, great. I do also want to underline this. It costs, you get $10 straws for $15. 10 fucking red straws.
Plus shipping.
That say Trump on it.
Plus shipping.
You can buy 1,000 fucking plastic straws for $10. So that's 150% markup or 150x markup.
Listen, I don't like paper straws either. Okay.
Yeah.
This is so stupid. This is just.
But you know what?
Oh man,
people will literally just go broke buying this shit in like the weird culture war where they think that
it's expensive.
It's like sometimes we need to stop and say, do we deserve to keep going? As like, does our species really? We act like it's like we're killing ourselves. Like, maybe that's what's supposed to.
Yeah, right.
I mean, do you remember this was a couple years ago? Maybe about a decade ago, but Sun Chips had like the biodegradable bag, like fully biodegradable.
They did?
Oh yeah, they came out. It was fully biodegradable. But
so
I'm
you
not
just
kidding.
Throw
you.
That shit like.
But get this. So this is hilarious. They discontinued it, and I'm not kidding you. It's because people were calling and complaining that the bag was too loud.
I remember that.
They were like, the bag's too loud. It crinkles too much, and I don't like it. I can't eat my chips in a library. And
the bag was too loud.
Too loud.
Like it was so rigid that it was like.
Yeah, and people were like, "No can do. I'll eat
fuck
Doritos." Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they re-released the non-biodegradable bag, and people were like, "Thank you.
It's made of Mylar.
I like to eat my chips in silence."
Right.
Sun Chip is also the loudest chip, anyways. If you're engaging with Sun Chips, you know people see you and they know it's a loud.
Do
chip
you consciously
experience.
Buy Sun Chips intentionally?
No. I've
are you
only...
anti-sunchip?
Are you trying to back me into
I don't
a
know.
Corner?
Debate on me on it.
Debate me, you coward.
Debate me, you coward, on the validity of sunchips.
I forgot about that sunchips thing. That was, yeah, this is...
I remember my mom, when we would go to Subway when I was a kid, she wouldn't let me get Doritos, but the sunchip in her mind was fine. So that's, for a while, when I would get my tuna sandwich as a kid, I would only get the French onion. Or harvest cheddar or whatever. What the fuck is harvest cheddar? Whatever. Just add the cool modifiers that make you feel like it's, you know, rustic.
I do appreciate when like blatantly unhealthy things have branded themselves as healthy and my mom falls for it.
Right. It's like it says
fun.
Sun.
Yeah.
It's the
like,
sun.
They're like these chips can grow on a tree in the sun.
Right.
And that's beautiful.
What's the first ingredient? It's some like 14 syllable chemical compound I don't know how to pronounce. But fine. Well, okay. Good luck to everybody who bought their red Trump straw. I'm sure you will own the libs when they see you using a red straw that from far away looks like it's a Slurpee straw from 7-Eleven.
If you're ordering 15 straws for $10 on the internet, I'm sure paper straws are your biggest problem.
Yeah. And if you do that, don't tell me anything about fucking fiscal responsibility either. That's fine. 150 times markup. Yeah. I'm good. Good. Mm-hmm. Next up, man.
Yes.
Oh, John Delaney. It be your own, as we say on the Daily Zeitgeist every day. And presidential hopeful number 4,458,599999, John Delaney, has reportedly been told by his own fucking staff to sit the fuck down. This is what Axios is reporting. They say on July 9th, John Delaney's senior team sat him down and told him to drop out of the presidential race by mid-August. And they had three sources. Okay, so why? First, they thought he flopped at the first debate in Miami. Quote, there was no real breakout moment, which was what everyone in leadership had been hoping for. Next, every other day he would have a different position, whether on economic policies or racial issues. And that, apparently that was a common theme that came up with the sources that this journalist spoke with. Mm-hmm. Some said he's not spending enough money to run a competitive race, that all the money he spent so far hasn't moved the needle for them. Because he's like, I think he got like custom straws.
Yeah. Did the straw strategy not work?
I don't think so.
Can't believe it.
He just thought like, hey, we'll do a collab with Bagu for reusable shopping bags.
They call them Laney straws.
Laney.
Fuck.
Another one said he'd be better positioned to run for governor or get a cabinet position if he drops out before September. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. One of the other themes that came out through all of these sort of interviews was everyone wanted to make sure that they got this point out, that he is, quote, genuinely a likable guy. They're like, this guy's actually a really nice guy. Even though all this other shit, we want you to know he's V-nice. But they say they describe him as the most Republican Democrat who's just, quote, not made for the moment. And I was like, yeah, that does make sense. Because when he addressed the California Democratic Convention, his takes were, yes, I don't think he knew where the fuck he was. You're speaking to California Democrats. And check out some of these takes.
If my policies have to become more moderate to get things done that matter to the American people, then I'm all in.
It got worse when he talked about health care.
Medicare for all may sound good, but it's actually not good policy, nor is it good politics. I'm telling you.
Yo, that's. I feel bad that his only defense.
Delaney 2020. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
There.
Oh shit. I'm telling you.
Gee whiz.
He's glitching.
Pour water on him.
Yeah, we already have a flagrant centrist running in the. There's only room for one flagrant centrist. Yeah.
I kind of want to vote for this guy's staff.
Right.
You know, like that's refreshing.
Yeah.
I almost want, like, I wish you could vote for the candidate and then be like, now you have to take his staff.
Right.
I want these three people around in case you need to be told to sit down.
Right.
You know, I like knowing that they'll do that.
There's another thing that said, like, his wife, who isn't officially part of the campaign, has been apparently, like, actually running the campaign. So there was no coherent direction going on. The other thing they say is that, first of all, he's not even polling anywhere near enough to get deep in these debates. He's polling between generously 0 and under 1%.
And is America ready for a president this bald?
Yeah, I know. When was the last time we had a really bald motherfucker?
Have we
office?
Ever had?
Dwight D.
Yeah. Was it
Dwight
Ike?
D was a baldman?
Ike? Mm-hmm. Who else? LBJ was thinning.
LBJ was thinning. Nixon got pretty. Nixon was getting there.
But he had, he didn't have the halo. Going
no,
on,
no, no,
I mean.
No, no.
Huh. Yeah, that's a very good, yeah. Wow. It's funny because baldest woman is boss.
Yeah, that
baldest man is cuck loser.
Baldest woman is in charge. Baldest man, kind of chaos, you don't know.
Yeah.
Could go a lot of ways.
That's why I wear a hat, so no one knows.
Yeah.
the other thing that they say is that Delaney apparently seemed open to the idea of dropping out, but that he'd still attend the next debates at the end of this month.
He's even flip-flopping on this issue.
Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like,
he's got no stance.
They're literally saying, like, dude, it's fucking done. take the L, just figure out another strategy here. There might be a way for you to become a governor or get in a cabinet position. But he's like, nah, let me just see how this next debate goes, my glamour project.
He's like, hold on, let me just kill it real quick. He's like, the only thing worse than canceling college debt is abortion.
Whoa, shit. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. I'm going to do that every time I'm losing an audience during stand-up. I'm telling you. Can't wait to get the old-fashioned hook.
The vaudevillian shepherds came.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nothing says.
Dating in L.A. I'm telling you.
You don't know if who you're going to be with is a... cis or het or a man or, you know, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's just problematic, man. What the fuck?
Hooker.
I'm telling you. Oh, boy. That did not go well. Gotta stop getting my jokes from Reddit. Okay, well, you know, again, I think Kenny, yes, valuable lesson here for his staff. Shout out to them for... I wonder how bad it was, like, if they really thought... Like, if this was an intervention, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, to be like... Hey, we got to talk, boss. What? Dude, you got to pull the fucking plug on this thing. Your own job?
Like, this guy has good friends. More people need these people like this.
I think maybe that's why they really want to be like, he's a genuinely nice guy. He's just wrong for this era.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
He sounds like a cool principal.
Yeah, it's like comedians, you know? Jamie, how many times have you heard that? Where it's like, well, how's this person? I'm like, nice guy.
Nice guy.
Really? That guy needs to quit. I used to quit comedy.
Yeah, he's going to be so nice doing literally anything else. Yeah. Like,
Has a comedian ever Delaney staffed another comedian?
Delaney staffed?
Been like, hey, you know what? This ain't it.
No.
It's tough. You know how you tell
like
someone?
You kind of got to Delaney staff yourself.
Yeah, you have to self staff.
You got to self staff yourself.
Wow. Well, staffing season is upon us.
There comes a day where we must all Delaney ourselves.
Moving on to.
Are you going to be a Mulaney or Delaney?
Yeah.
That's the choice.
Exactly.
You got two roads here in comedy.
The
You're either
Jones.
A Mulaney or a Delaney.
Mulaney's rise up, Delaney's don't know when to quit.
Yeah.
Just going to jump
for
back
down.
Into the devil's butthole.
Down to the devil's butt.
From whence I came.
Speaking of. No, I can't even pivot into that. I just want to talk about what's going on in Puerto Rico right now. Mm-hmm. Because Ricardo Rossello, the governor, and his staff have been in fucking hot water. People are in the streets demanding his resignation because he is just trying to ride out an epic shitstorm of controversy at the moment. Puerto Rico's Center for Investigative Journalism released like almost 900 pages of texts or messages in this group between the governor and 11 other male aides that were chock full of homophobic and sexist slurs.
It's really
and
bad.
And it was a fucking toxic dump site. Like, it was, they were taking shots at political opponents, like the mayor of San Juan, fucking Ricky Martin got the smoke in this group.
It's not worth repeating any of it, but it is like, this always happens.
Yeah.
It's like, also like, even if you're going to speak that way, like, in this current day and age, if you're what are you texting anything?
Yeah.
Like, you know that this is going to, you
it'll
like,
end up somewhere.
That shows how incompetent you are.
Right.
Is that you think you can text this
You don't
stuff.
Even know how to hide your misogyny.
Like, it's unacceptable to say it in a closed room with your friends.
Right.
But it is stupid to have digital receipts. Like, it's crazy.
Evidence of your shittiness. When you're such a position of power, too.
Yeah, right. Especially after you're coming off of like a huge hurt. You're under the spotlight.
Yeah, and I mean, again, there was even another comment like where the governor's chief financial officer was making like Hurricane Maria jokes even about bodies piling up. It was absurd. Now, this is all against a backdrop where people fucking have been calling him out on his basically failed leadership. And you know, his failure to accurately portray the extent of the damage and the death toll of the hurricane, his inability to really stand up to Trump, and you know, just the local government and federal government's slow response. Obviously, like, there a lot of just terrible shit has been going on. And then also recently too, there was a scandal involving his Secretary of Education and five others. They were fucking arrested because they were just steering federal funds to like their homies who were contractors who were totally unqualified.
Right.
Like old school bullshit, you know, here, hook the homies up type corruption. So, you know, When you kind of look at all this and all the anger, I get it. Because on top of the economic situation in the territory, which already, come on, Puerto Rico should be a fucking state. We're fucking making all these decisions on these people's behalves. They are United States citizens, but they have no representation in Congress. Mm-hmm. I have so much to say about that.
It's, yeah.
And then on top of it, the federal government has their hands all over how they're going to recover out of this recession and their plan. They're making all the decisions, which is basically pay off your debt, but pay the banks fucking first. Mm-hmm. Not even like be able to figure out a way to get this economy running again. It's like, well, hey, man. You owe Wall Street some money.
Yeah, the priorities are very clear. The pull quotes from these, I like that they're called Ricky Leaks.
Yeah.
The pull quotes from the Ricky Leaks are straight up horrifying. And it is, I mean, it is kind of, I guess, appreciate the fact that world leaders can still be this incompetent, so at least they can get busted on this shit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like once people who are a part of our generation start engaging in political fuckery, they will know not to do this.
Right.
And Manafort got busted for the same thing like earlier this year. It's like he had just texted all his war crimes.
How do I change this PDF to look like more money in bank?
Right. It's just.
Well, it's also like Trump is scapegoating this guy and he's giving it validity,
right.
which is another frustrating element. Yeah. Because I first started hearing about this guy's corruption because of Trump's deflections on his handling of Maria. And I assumed, oh, he's just blaming someone else. But then it sucks whenever that it comes out and it's like, oh, this guy is inept.
Right.
And then, you know, Trump's base is like, see?
See, it wasn't him.
See, it wasn't him. Right. And that's one of the big arguments against him, as you said, the way he handled the hurricane. But it turns out, you know, and look, you know.
You saw Trump. He was in the gym. That wet-ass jump shot with the paper towels. You saw that. But again, you know, shout out to the people in the streets, man. I really hope your action pays off because, again, yes, I feel like he should resign. And there is constant demonstrations going on. So, you know, shout out support to love to all the Boricua people in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
Next up. Okay, so how many of y'all did FaceApp?
I don't fuck with that.
Why?
Because I...
Because Russia?
No, because I...
You don't want to look at yourself?
I don't want to see... first of all...
I don't want to look at
logistically,
myself.
I don't want to know what I look like old. What the fuck? I'm going to look worse than I do now, and I don't need to think about that. Everyone's like, I'm going to be hot when I'm old. I'm like, no, you're hot now.
Yeah, do the face app.
You just... Yeah.
You think you'll be hot when you're old? Let me see.
I'm not doing it.
No, not you. The hypothetical me.
Debate me.
You. Yeah.
Anytime the masses start doing something, it's probably not great.
Well, you know, I think...
It's like the ice bucket challenge where it was like, okay, I hit a certain point where I was like, what's really going on here? It's too much.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at least that was in service of like ALS, right?
Right,
but like
this,
I mean, look, you take it, you get to use people's sense of vanity or, you know... the novelty of seeing themselves old, and it spread. Mm-hmm. But like the prevailing take was Russia, and even I was like at first like, But overall, at the end, like when in my mind I was like, well, then they're gonna have photos. But it's like, let's be real, everybody got your photos. You don't need this. Yeah. This isn't gonna open Pandora's box, fam.
No.
But at any rate, people just became so concerned with it, especially that the language in the terms and conditions basically said, you grant FaceApp a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create, derivative works from, distribute, publicly, blah, 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 blah. Now, people were like obviously freaked out about Russia these days because of what happened in the election or whatever. But it even like got to the point where like Chuck Schumer called for like an FBI investigation into the app. And then telling people who are running like DNC candidates, like, do not use the app. Really? Are we not looking at what actual like big tech companies are doing?
Yeah, I'd see it both ways. In some ways, I'm just like, yeah, if you did FaceApp, of course your data got fucking jacked. Like, and anyone who I feel like in general, like most people are like, oh, yeah, duh. Like, I'm very surprised that people were surprised, but this is like you're saying, it's like most apps. It's like if you have a fucking Nest Cam in your house, if you have an Alexa in your house, like you are.
Look at the terms and conditions of fucking anything you use.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like if you don't like, you can opt out. If you have an Alexa in your house, you can opt out of certain like not being eavesdropped on, but it affects the service of the device so much that you may as well not have it. So you're just create like.
That's why you should just hire some kind of servant with a computer app next to them at all times.
There's a great book there. I've been reading a lot about it because it's a lot of what the show I've been building is about, and I not to brag, but I've read a book.
Girl Whom Is Boss?
Boss Whom Is Girl.
Boss Whom Is Girl. I'm sorry.
I mean, very important distinction.
Yes.
But there's a new book called The Age of Surveillance Capitalism that like super breaks down the logistics of this. It's by Shoshana Zuboff. But it's just, I mean, it is, I think it is kind of like pointed that like FaceApp is such a silly thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's taking data is like kind of funny, but it's like everything. Well, literally everything.
Well, even when you break down the thing, a lot of people are like, well, it gives you the camera wall or whatever. And a lot of people who are looking into like the structure of the actual app, it's not accessing your entire camera roll and being like, thank you. It's just turning the ones that you are putting like the photo you want to be altered in. And then the information it only can get is just the device model you have and like this specific like serial number, like the device ID number.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's not more than a normal app would ask for. I double checked just to be sure. And the Jeremy Renner app asks more for more data.
I'm sure. And your location probably.
Oh, you got to unlock location based. Where you are. The Jeremy Renner app is chaos. You know, you need money to participate. You can download it for free. But there's also a Jeremy Renner star system.
I saw that. Wait, didn't you like upload a thing of like where you can pay more for him to see your comments or some shit?
Yeah, if you can pay $100 and then he'll for sure see your thirsty ass comment on his weird app. Or at least someone he knows will. And
can we get you banned from that app?
I will put money
into whatever would be the highest tier user so he has to see your nonstop commentary.
I star every pic.
No reply from him? No response?
No, I mean, I'm nowhere close to being the number one fan. It's going to take a while, but if you download the Jeremy Renner app, make sure you also sign up for push notifications because they're fucked.
One thing I just do want to bring up is when you look at just sort of people like, well, then they have your photo. Just think about this, right? Google has already used at least 8 million user images for facial recognition training. Facebook has used at least 10 million users' photos for their own shit. So, like, let's really kind of refocus this. I understand Russia has so much energy behind it, and it's crazy because like a lot of the coverage was lopsided and just focusing on Russia rather than privacy, right? I think that's really what it was, but because I think the nature of like the sort of response people have when they hear it, they're like, oh no. Other thing, you remember the mannequin challenge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the Race Remembered song? Didn't have the Race Remembered song?
Yeah.
Where people like had to stand still and then people would just kind of walk through with a camera. Well, guess what? Google used 2,000 of those mannequin challenge videos to train their AI to understand like their AI model and predicting the depth of a moving object in video. So, you know what? Just FaceApp the fuck out yourself.
Yeah, man.
Guys.
If you like, I think the worst thing that can happen when you are a participate in FaceApp is you're a fucking dork. Like, I think that is really the thing.
Oh, man. But some of those photos, man.
I guess.
Like the people who did it 6 times on themselves.
Those ones where you look like you're melting are
kind
of funny.
I actually like that when you have full on just, yeah. Well, great. And also, other fact, the actual images that are being used, they're not actually even being stored in Russia. They're using Google and Amazon's cloud services.
Mm. Well, that sounds safe.
And also think about this. They're not even accessing your microphone like many other apps that don't need to.
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner's app uses the microphone?
Are you ever in an app? It happens to me when I'm on Instagram all the time where you close the app and you can see the red like recording light in the top left of your phone for a second and then it shuts off and you're like, oh, that app was listening to me.
Like which ones?
Yeah.
That happens on Instagram all the time. Instagram, like look at the top left of your screen. It'll be red for a second and then close. And I only know that because I record all my sets. And so I know like what that recording light looks like.
That's why your targeted ads get crazy, man. Like, I was literally, so I said the way, remember in the beginning I said I had Googled bug out bag. Well, it was after the earthquake and we were like, we got to figure out, we got to have a kit. And we were having a conversation about it. And then Looked at my phone, and the first targeted ad was this bug out
bag. Oh, okay. So
not to have my little, but like, I mean,
well, I mean, anyone, we always talk about how those ads just pop up. I'm like, yeah, cool, microphone access.
It is, yeah, it is. They're list. They are. I'm like, they are listening. They are, but like, listening. If you don't think that that's true, it's like, look at your targeted ads.
It's follow. Like, there's facts, and then there's conspiracy. But it's like, I remember I had an Alexa. My roommate had one. We got rid of it because of the number of times that we would forget it was there. Mm-hmm. And we'd just be talking, and then we'd hear, I'm sorry, what was that?
Right.
And it's like, and oh, yeah, you're just listening to us.
There, you do, like, I do it sometimes in like, shows. Like, I'll have people take their phones out and just, like, leave their phone out and then mention, like, Monster Energy drink, like, 20 times. And then the next day, people will send me screenshots of, like, they're getting targeted ads of it.
Yeah. Monster, like, needs to give you a check.
Yeah, I agree.
I know. It's That's not cheap. A boss move.
It's not cheap.
I know. I hear you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Jamie?
Miles?
How was MenCon?
Okay, so
give us a quick update. What's going on?
Quick update. I'm not gonna go crazy on the recap, but I do feel like, I've been talking to Zygang.
Yeah,
about
people
this
know
story
about you.
For over a year now.
Yeah, you are a Mensan.
Yes.
You've written things about Mensa.
Yes,
I've been. I'll let you just tell your story. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
God, just making space over here. So basically, if you're not familiar, that's great, honestly.
Took
the Mensa entry exam as a joke. Turned out to not be.
Turned out I was a genius.
Turns out, and I genuinely do believe this, turns out the test is way easier than they tell you, and it's kind of a grift. I truly believe, like, a lot of people, almost anyone could pass this test, I think. If you grew up taking standardized tests,
sure,
which most of us did. If you did well on your standardized tests in elementary school, you'll probably do well on these. Either way, wrote about it as a joke, got in as a joke, was writing some kind of goofy pieces under the assumption that the group was, you know, kind of a bunch of, like, rich liberal nerds.
Yeah, sure.
So kind of poking at that. Then turns out it was a way more complicated organization than I realized. There were a lot of secret Facebook groups that were
toxic.
I'm trying to remain. I'm like 12,000 words deep into this story, and it is.
Have you said that many words already?
Way more bizarre.
Oh, you're writing. Okay.
Oh,
I thought you had spoken 12,000 words just
now. No, although I am going Crofton viral right now.
You're Crofton viral on that cold brew.
On the cold brew. But long story short, there are all these secret groups, especially this one unmoderated one, who found my work and immediately were like, you know, like there were threats, there were insults. It was just kind of the general person online.
Yeah, you poked a cultural beehive online.
Right.
And then the response.
So I just started writing about that. I stopped making fun of it and started reporting on it. Things kind of spiraled out. I like met people who were very high up in American Mensa, and they were like, yeah, we're not going to shut this group down because people like it, even though it's extremely right-leaning, a lot of racist stuff in there, a lot of anything phobic,
right.
It's in that group. And they'll specifically target members of the group they don't agree with and mass block them and basically make the group inaccessible. So it was requested that I go to the annual gathering.
Of the Juggalos.
But it was in Phoenix this year, so it was 3 days, 3 nights, 72 hours of Mensa, 110 degrees minimum the whole time because we're in fucking Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it was like truly one of the most bizarre experiences I've ever had, where I wasn't expecting for, like, I had a name tag on and I think I was confronted for good, bad, somewhere in between by minimum 100 people.
Wow.
Just like it was
because you've been kind of, you're sort of a pariah in the Mensa community, no?
Well, but I didn't anticipate to, like,
you know, of course, this. But yeah, but I know, like, you definitely people knew the name Jamie Loftus in certain circles.
Sure, but I mean, I was assuming I could kind of slink, you know, not slink around, but they asked me basically the criticism of me besides the fact that I'm an ugly cunt who doesn't know what I'm talking about. Outside of that very valid criticism, the criticism was that I you know, prejudged the organization before I got to know them. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll go and, you know, I'll talk to people and, you know, fine. There were multiple times where I was in a room full of people who had blocked me online. They knew exactly who I was. I had no way of knowing who any of them were.
Ooh, that's ooh.
And it was just a series of in-person interactions.
Right.
I mean, some of them
were light confrontations. Yeah.
I mean, some of them were pleasant conversations, and then I would hear from a second party after, like, "Oh, that person has said really, like, hideous things about you that that I can't see because."
Right.
So it was just like a very weird translating from online to IRL. situation. I was kind of surprised that there were a few members who they were so aggressive towards me that I knew who they were.
Whoa, right.
Which means that they went out of their way to go out of the blocking and contact me directly.
Sure.
And there were a few people I met who got, like, I think surprisingly vulnerable with, like, why they felt a certain way about a certain thing, and I still disagree with most of it, but it was like, I don't know. I got invited to this dinner at, like, Scottish Hooters in Phoenix.
It's called Tilted Kilt.
It is called Tilted Kilt.
Respect
but it is
Tilted Kilt.
Scottish. It is Scottish Hooters. And I ended up talking to all these people.
That's amazing that Mensa meetings are at the Tilted Kilt.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to go to Tilted Kilt later.
We're intellectual. Meet me at the Buffalo Wing Bar.
It was a massive, I mean, there were 2,000 people at the Sheraton in Phoenix doing this. And the daytime, I mean, the lectures during the day were mostly stupid and hilarious, where there was comedy workshops run by 80-year-old professors.
Comedy workshops?
I went to 3 comedy-themed workshops.
What? How? Why? Why do they need comedy worked on in a shop?
I don't know, but I don't think that they were helped by the programming available. There my favorite one was called Because Science is Cool, Young Sheldon, The Big Bang Theory, and You. It was cute.
By CBS.
Sponsored by CBS. No, it was, I mean, I'd never seen a room full of full-grown adults recite a scene from The Big Bang Theory from memory and then laugh their heads off.
Wow.
But it was, I mean, it was, I am going to write something about it. It's taking a long time because there's more to write about than I anticipated. I don't know. It was truly like one of the most bizarre weekends I've ever had, and I still don't even know how I feel about
it. Well, I can't wait for you to finish this very long piece you've been working on, because it sounds like it has everything.
It was a very strange experience that I guess that I'll reach my conclusion at some point, but it's so long. It's so much stuff.
Well, tell me if you would recommend this strange event to someone.
Do it.
Would you go see the Lou Pearlman biopic?
Yes.
Why does he have a biopic? We were upstairs working the script, and you just, or the flow of the show, and then you're like, there's a Lou Pearlman biopic.
This is crazy.
You love Lou Pearlman. I mean, not that
No.
You're fascinated by
Lou
Pearlman.
You're trying to cancel me right and left.
You're a
today,
huge
Miles.
Lou head, right?
So you totally agree with everything Lou Pearlman's done. I just think it is so fucking weird that there's going to be a Lou Pearlman biopic. I just watched, there is a mostly good, sort of weird documentary on YouTube read about him. So Lou Pearlman is the guy who is he's a former blimp salesman who then went on to invent every popular boy band of the 1990s. Backstreet Boys,
boom.
Lou Pearlman.
Boom.
NSYNC was invented by Lou Pearlman,
boom.
As competition for the Backstreet Boys.
Boom.
So he would make double money. It's just like, and he's this, like, if you picture like villainous person,
yeah,
you're picturing Lou Pearlman.
Yeah.
He's like a cigar chain smoking, older.
You got the goods, kid.
Yeah, no, really.
Yeah.
Literally plucking kids out of Orlando.
You're going to be a star.
The documentary is wild because you find out that, like, for most of their career, Backstreet Boys are making minimum wage while Lou Pearlman is making millions of dollars. There are some pretty serious allegations by some members of, I think it's O-Town.
Uh-huh.
Remember O-Town?
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted a...
Wow.
Okay. That was their hit.
Okay, Manson.
But there are some serious allegations surrounding him that I don't think have ever gone to court. He's also dead.
Right, because he died in prison after he was in like a Ponzi scheme or something.
Yep.
Right?
The Ponzi scheme is the wildest part of the story. Also, I'm like, I mean, Zeitgang, let me know who you think should play Lou Pearlman. I'm personally like, Bobby Moynihan would be a great Lou Pearlman.
Wow.
I think he would fucking kill it. But
maybe.
That's just Jamie's little take.
Well, maybe you should be a casting person not a hot take comedian.
I have, oh God, please never call me that again.
Hot take comedian, Jamie
jump off the balcony. Okay.
HTC.
So he was a blimp salesman. His first love was blimps.
Like every great man.
Like every great man. He started blimping. And he was a blimp insurance scam man. And this is just a quick anecdote from this great Vanity Fair piece about him, about his first blimp scam, which had to do with Jordache jeans.
It's pronounced Jordache.
Okay. I'm
old.
Cut my Mensa card up. So the blimp was assembled at a naval base in Lakehurst, New Jersey, the same one where the German Zeppelin Hindenburg had crashed in flames. There were problems from the beginning, among the fact that the gold paint Jordache demanded to turn brown after several days in the sun, making the blimp look like a giant turd. On its inaugural flight on October 8, 1980, the new DoorDash blimp floated into the New Jersey sky on its way to the New York Harbor, where it was to circle a promotional party DoorDash was throwing. It made it less than a mile, however, before losing altitude and forcing the pilot to crash land in a garbage dump. The crash made headlines. Perlman blamed the weight of the gold paint. In the airship community, however, favorite beginning to a sentence, there were darker whispers. Lou never intended to fly that blimp, asserts Gross, his blimping friend. Mm-hmm. He could have been arrested if it had left that base. So basically, he ends up getting $2.5 million in blimp insurance money. So he sabotaged the blimp.
He's a saboteur.
He's a saboteur.
Wow.
I hope
that's most of the film.
I think that that's
the
most.
Other stuff.
Yeah, I want to see this biopic.
Especially, I want to see the turd crash into a New Jersey dump.
I mean, if this movie is made the right way, it could be really cool. I sort of worry about it getting into like Vice territory of like making a bad person look cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But you know, it is like this is a country of grifters,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know the Ray Kroc, the founder mm-hmm. or whatever the McDonald's one.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's in that vein. You know, it's just like one of the great American grifts, the boy band grifter.
Yeah.
And
possible monster. And probably no, likely monster.
No, like monster. For sure. For sure monster. 100%.
Someone's got to get Moynihan in the room for this.
That's a good call.
Do we know how he spoke?
I was looking at pictures of him trying to think of like who I would suggest, but uh-huh. I think it has to be Bobby Moynihan. Yeah, like it's perfect.
And it's such a, like he's, so many of his crimes are extremely goofy. Too, like he's a blimp fraud. He said he had an airline but never owned a plane. And then there's this great picture in the documentary. I can't find it online, but there's a picture of like his promotional image for, I think it was called Transcontinental Airlines, where it's supposed to be a picture of a Transcontinental Airlines plane taking off, but it's Lou Pearlman holding a model of a plane close to the camera. And that was the promotional image for his airline that didn't actually exist.
Wow.
He was like a high-level Florida scammer.
You know who probably could have done? Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think, could have played him.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking, would've too. Been,
that's a shame.
I always lobby for Melina, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't want Melina to sort of take the risk. I think
for someone
to do this, you would want to actually put on that weight to look believable. But yeah,
you know, if Matt Damon were willing to commit to a weight gain program, I think he could maybe make this work.
Lastly, I just want to talk about Netflix briefly because they kind of made a boo-boo. Okay. They projected them picking up about 5 million subscribers in the last quarter. They only did about half that and it sent their stock tumbling. Oh no, their stock, guys. But really, what is interesting is that they were kind of blaming, or the head of Netflix was like, you know, we just had a weak programming slate and that kind of led to the slip. And they're like, but you know what? The new Stranger Thing is out and that's going to make the numbers look good. Mm. The Nielsen, the people who do the Nielsen ratings, they have another theory. They think it's too much fucking content to choose from. Because as they were doing their analysis, they found that if video streaming subscribers don't know what they want to watch, they're almost twice as likely to tune into their just favorite broadcast television channel rather than browse through the menus of their streaming services. Also, streaming service recommendations do not appear to carry much weight. 44% of polled viewers said they would scan through television channels to decide what to watch, while 26% said they watch shows recommended by their subscription service. I get it. I believe it. It's decision fatigue.
Yeah.
There's too much shit, and I don't know.
Totally.
And half the time, the recommended shit, I'm like, you really think, based on me watching this other shit, I want to watch some child animation? Negative.
My worry is that they're gonna stop letting you you can't. They'll do that thing. I think Hulu does this where two people can't use it at the same time, so that everyone's gonna have to get their own subscription.
Oh right,
to
right,
Netflix.
Right.
Because I think that Hulu does that because I use my writing partners, and sometimes it's like someone else is trying to watch King of the Hill. Get the fuck out.
Also, if you leave browsers open, mm-hmm. make sure you close them browser windows because that'll count.
Yeah.
As one of your active screens.
Mm.
But you know, I think there's just too much stuff. I wish there was some way that the recommendation algorithm was more intelligent. Maybe they should turn the microphone on in my house and hear the kind of conversations.
It was just crazy because at least like the old TV model, it was like programmed in time blocks.
Right.
It was like we have this many hours in the day.
Right.
So there's only so many shows we can make to fill our channel, and now it's just like, yeah,
fucking everything.
Got unlimited time, man.
Right.
Here you go.
You want to watch a fucking competition show where they blow glass? No.
Honestly,
I fucking don't.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, that I'm speaking for myself. I will pretend to be Netflix and ask you, Jamie, you want to watch a competition show about motherfuckers blowing glass?
I think it's weird that there's
like. Oh, you're not Chihuly Head? Oh, you're not Chihuly Head, my man?
What's a Chihuly?
You know, like Chihuly? Chihuly's the only famous glass blower.
Oh yeah,
he got the eye patch.
Yes, he's from Seattle. That art is very. I think they have some of his work is in the Palm Springs Art Museum.
I made a really mean cartoon about him once, and I regret it.
Well, you'll have your chance to redeem yourself by watching the new season of whatever that show is.
Glass Blowings
R
Us.
Well, Kenny, Jamie, thank you so much for joining me on this journey today.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, my pleasure.
Kenny, where can people find you and follow you and support you?
Man, it's real easy. It's Kenny DeForest on everything. I'm the only Kenny DeForest out here trying to do. Yeah, I'm the only one. No, Kenny DeForest on Twitter, Instagram. My website's kennydeforest.com. And yeah, follow me, man.
Is there a tweet you like? Anything on Twitter that?
Oh yeah, yeah. So, do you guys know Patty Harrison?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's my favorite person to follow on Twitter, I think. Mm-hmm. And where the hell is it? Oh, here we go. Sure, if you remove your floating ribs, you can suck your own cock. But did you know that if you remove all your ribs, you can suck your own heart? What you think about that? Does this track?
Floating. Suck your own heart.
Oh, that's great.
Jamie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. Instagram, Jamie Cry Superstar, Bechdelcast every Thursday. Also, I'm leaving on, I think the day this episode comes out, I'm leaving the country for 6 weeks to go do Edinburgh Fringe.
Hell yeah.
If you're UK Zeit Gang,
yep.
I am going to be in London 27th and the 28th doing my show Boss Who Miss Girl. And if you're in Edinburgh, I will be there from the 31st to the 26th doing the show every damn night.
Damn.
So please
every damn
come.
Day.
Every damn day.
That's going to be cool to see how that show evolves like over time, right?
I'm
Do you think it'll evolve like subtly?
Yeah.
By doing getting all those reps in?
Yeah. It changed. I've never done a show that many times in a row. And even when I think I've done it maybe 10 times here, and it changes every time.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it's about like Silicon Valley grifters, there's always like new stuff to add.
Yeah.
Like every couple of days, there's shit.
By
to
the
add.
End, I think you're gonna become so powerful, you're just gonna shoot fucking fire out of there. Your eyes. Like, I can't control it. I've iterated too much.
I've created too much content.
I am the singularity. What's the tweet you like?
Going off the fringe. If you are going, I wanted to shout out an entire Twitter account that someone from Zeit Gang, from Scotland Zeit Gang, sent to me. It's an account called @fringeofcolour, spelled the UK way, C-O-L-O-U-R, because Edinburgh Fringe is majority, there's mostly white performers that go, and, you know, going to see theater is such a class prohibitive thing.
Sure.
That this is an account that was set up specifically to promote shows by non-white performers at the Fringe. There's like a really useful spreadsheet. They're tweeting about it all the time. And it seems like it's a super valuable resource if you're going. So if you are, definitely follow that account @fringeofcolour.
Get your fringe on.
Color.
You can find me and follow me @milesofgray on Twitter and Instagram. A tweet that I like a few. First one's from Blair Saki, @BlairSaki. I always feel so sorry for girls from my high school when I go back home to get my hair done and run into them at the salon. And they're like, so what have you been up to? Can you imagine having to try to pretend you don't know someone is a famous comedian? It's just sad. next up, Rachel Winitsky, past guest, @RachelWinitsky. All caps. I personally like that the cats have big human titties. I think we have all been blessed. Thank you, Rachel. And last one's from Jesus @DeezusNice. Saw Cats as a kid. My mother got my Playbill autographed and introduced me to one of the main actors. He OD'd on Coke a week later, and I was like, what's Coke? And my parents just changed the subject. You can find the Daily Zeitgeist at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at the Daily Zeitgeist on, what is that, Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page. We got a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where I post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you. Where we post our episodes, you know, and I think the tracks and stuff like that. Also, just to let you know, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio, so, you know, come get down with us on any app or whatever. You heard me?
Or whatever.
And we are going to ride out on a song. What's that song, Miles? Well, allow me to tell you. This is a track from Ila Bamba, who is an artist we've played before. She has a new track called Something Wild out. You know, this is a good song to start your week. Get powerful. We all got to keep our heads down and slog through.
Yep.
So good luck to everybody. Keep your hopes high. Keep your heads high. And listen to this track. Thank you for joining. We'll talk to you tomorrow because it's a daily show. Bless you. Goodbye.
Can I add one quick thing before we play? Really quick. I'll be on a stand-up tour in the Southeast at the end of August and early September. KennyDeForest.com. I got Cincinnati. Go Bananas. I got Asheville, North Carolina. A bunch of dates being added right now, so check that out.
Boom. Check out Kenny. All there on his website, on all his handles, and let's get to it. Okay, have a good week, y'all. Bye.
See you in the fall, gang.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.